In early 1917, the original Dixieland Jazz Band made the first jazz recording. Over the next 100 years, we've heard transcendent leaps of creativity and staggering virtuosity. We have experienced the music of crushing pain, breathless romance, anger, exhilaration, and humor. This is that story. 100 years of jazz recordings. From WTJU Charlottesville, your host, Russell Perry. Some of the same forces that launched bebop as a break from big band swing also fueled the birth of rhythm and blues. The rise of independent labels in the wake of the recording ban 1942 to 1944, the economic infeasibility of touring with 16-member orchestras, the decline of dance halls in the aftermath of the war, and the rise of jukeboxes and radio as primary entertainment media. Bebop and R&B also shared the big bands as a common pool of musicians who used that platform to explore the harmonically rich alternative to swing in bebop and the rhythmically propelled alternative in rhythm and blues. We are joined today by Dave Rogers, an announcer at WTJU, an educator, and a longtime student of rhythm and blues. A discussion of the transition from big band swing to rhythm and blues wouldn't be complete without exploring the music of Lionel Hampton. Arnold Shaw, in his book Honkers and Shouters, The Golden Years of Rhythm and Blues, has written, "Under Lionel's leadership, the Hampton Band played its feelings. Recognizing that excitement was its main objective, Leonard Feather contends in his Encyclopedia of Jazz that the band gradually reduced its musicianship and by the early 50s has become as much a rhythm and blues as jazz attraction with circus overtones. Regardless of this jazz critic snobbery towards R&B, the Hampton Band was not concerned simply with showing its musicianship. It did not separate itself from its audience as an elite craft group, but sought to move its listeners as well as to entertain them." We'll start our exploration of Lionel Hampton with the Jumpin' Jive from 1939, followed by Flyin' Home from 1942.
Jump, jump is the jumping jive. Make you get your kicks on the middle side. Hip, hip. Hip, hip. The jim, jim, jump is the solid jive. Make you 9 foot tall when you're 4 foot five. Hip, hip. Hip, hip. Don't be that Icaroo. Get help and follow through. Get yourself some study fool to make the joint jump like the gators do. The jim jam jump is the jumping jive. Make you like your eggs on the Jersey side. Hip, hip. Hip, hip. Jersey jive. Hip, hip, hip. Hip, hip, hip on the middle side. Thank you.
Two selections from Lionel Hampton and his orchestra, The Jumpin' Jive and Flyin' Home. Another band leader who mined that seam between big band swing and rhythm and blues was Lucky Millinder. According to Scott DeVoe, in 1944, the music industry was only beginning to awaken to the changing tastes and increased purchasing power of black audiences. Still, the signs were clear for those who cared to read them. An aggressively populist approach was paying off handsomely for band leaders like Lionel Hampton, Cootie Williams, Erskine Hawkins, Lucky Millinder, who had just hired blues shouter Winoni Harris in April, and Louis Jordan, a former sideman with Chick Webb's orchestra, whose small combo, called the Timpani Five, placed a string of records on the Harlem Hit Parade beginning in 1942. Let's hear Lucky Millinder and his orchestra performing Apollo Jump from 1941 and Who Threw the Whiskey in the Well, featuring blues shouter Winoni Harris from 1940.
Sunday morning, and the church was crowded full. Old Elder Brown was raving. He was angry as a bull. The congregation sensed it, and they knew just what he meant when he said, "My text today is you sinners must repent." Who threw the whiskey in the well?
In the well.
Who threw the whiskey in the well?
In the well.
'Cause Deacon Jones knelt down to pray. All he said was, "Hey, hey, hey." So who threw the whiskey in the well?
In the well. Now.
I'm feeling mighty fine. I'm high as a Georgia pine.
So who threw the whiskey in the well?
In the well.
Two selections from Lucky Millinder and his orchestra, Apollo Jump and Who Threw the Whiskey in the Well. Gary Giddens wrote, "When the two-year recording strike ended in 1944, two new musics suddenly flowered, each having mutated in relative privacy as enforced by the ban. In jazz, the byword was bebop, and Charlie Parker was its avatar. In pop, the coming fashion was rhythm and blues, with which Louis Jordan attracted capacity audiences." We talked to Dave Rogers about the changes in the music industry as a result of the musician strike of 1942 to 1944.
The first company that decides it's going to cave is Decca. And so they're kind of off and running with what's going on. And some things maybe open up for them and as the fact that they've done that. But a month later, Capitol joins the group. Now, Capitol was in a weak position because they were a new company, had no backlog of material. So they really had to get into the business or they were going to end up folding or change their business. But Columbia and Victor, the big boys, held out. And they held out until late in 44. So this was meant that there was a vacuum that was created. And people could start recording companies at that point that might just actually survive the times and make some money. And they were more local. So a lot of this happened on the West Coast, but it literally happened across the country. The East Coast certainly had their own small companies. Apollo, for instance, was a pretty popular company and did deal in jazz as well as other things, as most of these companies ended up doing. So as we build out with the small companies, you've got a lot of tough problems solved. You've got smaller groups that are moving around. It's easier to transport them. It's not as expensive to pull them together and pay for everybody. And it's a chance for them to get their recordings spread out regionally, at least initially, and then nationally as that all goes on. So that makes a huge change in what's going on in the music industry. It also means because the band is smaller, they're going to have to change. They're not going to have a big horn section or four saxes in their room. They're going to have maybe a single sax player, and they're going to have a smaller rhythm section and so on that changes the sound of the music, However, they're still looking for the driving beat. They're still looking for danceability often, unless it is more towards the bebop strain that's developing as well. But it's really looking to be a popular music. And so you start hearing things that come out, you know, like Honey Dripper and so on, which was a very, very popular release. It's a different form. It's similar, but it's just not the same thing. It's not jazz anymore. It's really R&B. So it's maybe jazz's younger cousin that's been out in the back for a while, and now it's kind of trying to horn in.
Dave Rogers. We will return to Jazz at 100 and the new rhythm and blues sounds of Louis Jordan, Roy Milton, Jimmy Liggins, and Jimmy Forrest in a moment. Welcome back to Jazz at 100. In this hour, we're listening to Bebop's twin, Rhythm and Blues. Coming out of the Chick Webb Orchestra, where he shared the stand with Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Jordan paved the way for the small jump blues ensemble that became the core of early rhythm and blues. While Lionel Hampton and Lucky Millinder largely retained the 7-brass, 5-reed, 4-rhythm format of the big bands, Jordan toured and recorded with a lean quintet, sometimes sextet, occasionally septet, which he called his Timpani Five. His charting singles were frequently covered in the jazz world, and his stripped-down combo, mirroring the pioneering bebop bands, was widely imitated. Let's listen to Louis Jordan's influence on the jazz world, starting with You Run Your Mouth and I Run My Business from 1940, by Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five, followed by the same song by Louis Armstrong and his orchestra.
You cats keep beating up your chops. I ought to turn you over to the cops. But dig this field, I'm gonna lay on your gate. Don't cop your broom, park the body and wait. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You tell everybody I'm busted. You talk so much you got me disgusted. But you run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You start in telling me you're my pal and end up telling me how to handle my gal. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You run your juicy mouth and I run my business, brother. Just run your juicy mouth and I run my business, brother. You always telling me what to do, saying I wouldn't do that if I was you. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother. Just clap your liver lips and I run my business, brother. Clap your liver lips and I run my business, brother. If I'd followed your advice on how to make dough, I'd been in the jailhouse long ago. You run your mouth and I run my business, brother. Mm-hmm. Jack.
Now, a friend in need is a friend indeed, is a saying true but old. But brother, you have gone too far, so I'll have to get you told. And you run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You can run your mouth, but I run my business, brother. Now you tell everybody that I'm busted. You talk so much you got me disgusted. You can run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You can run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You can run your mouth and I run my business, brother. You start telling me that you're my pal and you wind up telling me how to handle my gal. You can run your mouth and I run my business, brother. Business, brother. If I followed your advice to make dough, I'd be in the jailhouse long ago. Run your mouth, but I'll run my business, brother. You can run your mouth and I'll run my business, brother. You can run your mouth and I'll run my business, brother. You're always telling me what to do. I would do that if I were you. You can run your mouth, but I'll run my business, brother.
Another example of Louis Jordan's influence is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby, which he recorded with the Timpani Five in 1943 and which was covered by Cootie Williams and his orchestra with Eddie Cleanhead Vinson on alto sax and vocals from 1944. Two versions of Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby.
I got a gal who's always late anytime we have a date, but I love her. Yes, I love her. I'm gonna walk right up to her gate and see if I can get it straight, 'cause I want her. I'm gonna ask her, is you is or is you ain't my baby? Way you acting lately makes me doubt. You's is still my baby, baby. Seems my flame in your heart's done gone out. A woman is a creature that has always been strange. Just when you're sure of one, you'll find she's gone and made a change. Is you is or is you ain't my baby? Maybe baby's found somebody new. Or is my baby still my baby true? Found somebody new, or is my baby still my baby true?
Ben Ratliff in the New York Times Essential Guide to Jazz wrote, "The Los Angeles jazz scene of the 1940s remains fascinating in part because its musicians sloshed between bebop and R&B with a great deal more fluidity than those in New York, where modern jazz by the late 40s was powerful enough to generate a circle of players that one could join and stay with exclusively." We talked with Dave Rogers about the growing music scene in L.A. after the war.
We also have to understand that there was this tremendous influx of musicians. The Los Angeles area, the greater Los Angeles area, was really just had a rainbow of folks who were coming in who were now stationed there. They're recording there. They're performing live there. The Central Avenue area is just amazing. And it's got people like Louis Jordan, Johnny Otis, Dexter Gordon, Joe and his brother Jimmy Liggins. Roy Milton was in the area. T-Bone Walker was recording out there. Charlie Parker recorded for Dial. Dizzy Gillespie was out there for a good piece of time. Coleman Hawkins had moved out to that area and was working out of there. Nat King Cole, who was initially not considered to be actually a vocalist, but in fact was a pianist. His earlier works were instrumental. So you've got this very, very different, some much more blues-based than others, some much more electric than others. And you've got Johnny Otis with a big band and starting to bring it down to a smaller size. He's one of the very, very popular performers. He's also bringing in eventually other singers who are going to stray us out of the jazz field and put us in the rhythm and blues world. But when you get into someone like Roy Milton, who's kind of got a little swing side on him on the one hand, he's doing a lot of blues as well. So a lot of this is blues-based music or some other spin-off of the bigger, larger swing style that's been going on.
The development of bebop in L.A. was aided by the launching of the new independent label Dial in 1946, with Charlie Parker as its first artist. Similarly, the creation of Specialty Records in 1945 gave the emerging rhythm and blues music a home in L.A. Early recordings for Specialty featured small ensembles with similar lineups to those recording for Dial. For example, Roy Milton's sextet, his Solid Senders, with a trumpet alto tenor frontline, and Jimmy Ligon's octet, his Drops of Joy, with a frontline that included trumpet alto and dual tenors, one of which was the teenaged Harold Land, who would anchor the L.A. jazz scene for the next 50 years. We'll hear Roy Milton and his Solid Senders performing Rhythm Cocktail from 1945, and Now's the Time from Jimmy Ligon's and his Drops of Joy from 1947.
We'll be right back.
Roy Milton performing Rhythm Cocktail and Jimmy Liggins performing Now's the Time. Charlie Parker recorded Now's the Time in late 1945, right before his ill-fated trip to Los Angeles. Local musicians like Jimmy Liggins would likely have heard him playing the tune during his extended residency. Let's hear now from Jimmy Forrest. Morton and Cook in The Penguin Guide to Jazz wrote, "Forrest had an almost iconic apprenticeship, working first with Fate Marable, in whose band both Louis Armstrong and Jimmy Blanton also apprenticed, and then alongside Charlie Parker in the Jay McShann band. He also had stints with Andy Kirk and Duke Ellington before establishing himself as a leader. Early R&B experience invested his work with a strong, funky sound, which evolved into something richer and more complex, but always straight down the line rhythmically. Forrest had few bar-walking mannerisms and was a surprisingly restrained soloist for the idiom. After leaving the Ellington Orchestra, he scored a big hit with the mournful swinger Night Train, an R&B classic based on Duke's Happy-Go-Lucky Local. Night Train from the Jimmy Forrest Quintet. We just heard Night Train from the Jimmy Forrest Quintet. Jazz at 100 will continue a moment with the music of Louis Jordan. Thank you. Welcome back to Jazz at 100. We're continuing our survey of early rhythm and blues, bebop's twin, and talk to Dave Rogers about the influences of Louis Jordan and those he influenced.
He was breaking different ground. I maybe Count Basie, I might have influenced that a little bit with his approach towards music and sort of a little more of the beat and a little more of the bluesy style that was working. And Jordan certainly was in that vein himself, although I don't think they're duplicates in any way, because he was quite the showman. And so he had it on all those counts. But it was the inspiration, without a doubt, for many, many people who came into doing this new rhythm and blues, this new small group sound. And when you look at testimonials from musicians from really the early 50s on and a number in the late 40s, one of the first names that comes up as to inspiration is Louis Jordan. And it goes on beyond the jazz world, too. I mean, you hear people like Bill Haley and various other rock and rollers absolutely hark back and say, Louis Jordan was the first person that really turned me around. And he was one of my role models in terms of the music itself and how it might go. Chuck Berry, to be sure, a huge fan, and certainly used a lot of that same approach in his own music. These are incredible things that went on during the time because of the small group people and the dynamic performances that they were able to give, because they certainly couldn't compete with the power of a big band. They just didn't have the instrumentation to do that, but they did have a way to bring a lot of electricity to it.
Our thanks to Dave Rogers. Arnold Shaw wrote, the late Ralph Gleason wrote, the Mills Brothers, like the Inkspots, were really black men singing white songs, but Louis Jordan sang black and sang proud. In songs like Beans and Cornbread, Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens, Don't You Worry About That Mule, Somebody Changed the Lock, and Caledonia, What Makes Your Big Head So Hard, he manifests a rich appreciation of the modes, manners, and living style of poor black people. R&B was so rooted, too. We'll hear Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five performing Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens.
One night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barnyard with the greatest of care. Down in the hen house something stirred when he shouted, who's there? This is what he heard. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So calm yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. You're stomping around and shaking the ground. You're kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble. It's a sin. Tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worms to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. Oh, there ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. Kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay.
is a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worms to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. And kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay. Hey, hey, boss man, what do you say? It's easy pickings. There ain't nobody here but us chickens.
One final tune from Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five, Don't Worry About That Mule, from 1945, of which Ben Ratliff wrote, tracks such as Don't Worry About That Mule, which put Aaron Isenhall's bebop trumpet and Josh Jackson's Jazz at the Philharmonic style tenor sax playing to a new driving rhythm, are the primary texts in how jazz is connected to rock and roll.
Start worrying about the mule going blind. Just sit tight and hold that line. Don't worry about the cow being poor. Just drink that milk and ask for more. Don't you worry about that mule, 'cause he ain't going blind. Don't you worry about that mule, baby, you just hold that line. Don't you worry about that mule, 'cause you know he ain't no fool. Don't you worry about that mule, mama, you just keep cool. Some flying high and some flying low, somebody's got to go. You know that I know that he knows that they knows. Baby, you better take it slow. Don't you worry about that mule, 'cause he ain't going blind. Don't you worry about that mule, mama, keep it cool. And take it slow, don't you worry about that mule, 'cause he ain't going blind. The mule's been to school, he ain't no fool, so sit on your stool and don't worry about the mule.
Ben Ratliff wrote, Jordan has survived mostly as a kitsch figure, except for the 1990s neo-swing revivalists who base their music on his, and the few jazz musicians who still openly admire his playing, such as Sonny Rollins. But he was one of the most important American musicians of the 20th century. In the next hour, we'll return to the front lines of the new jazz of the 1940s, bebop. From 1945 to 1948, Charlie Parker recorded a legendary body of work on the new independent labels Dial from Hollywood and Savoy from Newark. These recordings will introduce some of the greatest names of bebop: pianists Bud Powell, Dodo Marmarosa, and John Lewis, trumpeters Miles Davis and Howard McGhee, drummer Max Roach, and trombonist J.J. Johnson. You have been listening to Jazz at 100, a history of 100 years of jazz recordings produced by WTJU and made possible in part through a grant from the Virginia Endowment for the Humanities. For full playlists, including players and recording dates, and a listing of additional resources to enhance your appreciation of this important music, please go to WTJU.net/Jazz100. There you can also stream any of the programs in this series that you may have missed. This is your host, Russell Perry.